Thanks, Craig. Nice jersey, by the way. It's awesome to be here this morning. Don't you just want to tell someone next to you, what's your favorite thing in the winter? Pancakes or waffles? It's a very spiritual question. Just ask someone, what would you have in the winter on a rainy, cold day? Pancakes or waffles? Okay, who said pancakes? Who said waffles? Ooh, it's pancakes, and there's a few people that'll take neither. But this is not quiz time now. This is word time, so let me just pray before I get distracted. Yeah, Lord, I just want to thank you that we can just exit all the other important things in our lives and just make a consecrated time to sit under your word, which we can do daily, but now we can do it together with our fellow brothers and sisters. And we can sing at home, but here we were able to sing together. And we can pray at home when we are alone, but now we can pray together and for each other. Thank you that we can just share our faith this morning and grow stronger in it with the help of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know Pastor Craig, he can get into the verses nice and meticulously, and I like that as well. But this morning I'm going to take a little bit of a broader view, if that's okay with you, because I've got something on my heart that I've been dwelling on for a couple of weeks. I almost just hope to spray over the church and allow God to use it. So I want to talk this morning about an offering fit for worship. Or the title might have been a life fit for worship. You know, sometimes I had the same thought this morning. You come into the presence of the Lord and you feel a little bit unfit. You're like, you know, what was said this week, maybe what you did this week, maybe there's something in your heart that pushes back. You know, who's ever experienced that? You come into a place where there's worship, you're like, man, I really want to worship deep, but there's something here kicking in my heart, and now I need to, you know, unpack this thing before the Lord. Sometimes we also feel, sometimes just a temptation of an enemy. Yeah, you're not allowed to worship. Because he wants us to believe that we should be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, which we can never be. There was someone else who made a way for us. Because we have a great high priest, therefore let us enter. I can come near because of what Jesus did. But it is good for us to look at Scripture and ask the question, Lord, what does a heart look like that's fit for worship? And his grace covers our sins, and as we repent, he washes us clean. But let's study this morning more. Let's be after a heart that's fit for worship. I want to read for us just the account of Cain and Abel, and then we'll go from there. Okay, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So there was an offering unfit for worship. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. And Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Now, this is a fascinating couple of verses, because we get the first offering recorded in Scripture brought to the Lord. Okay, the first offering. And we see some things here. And then shortly after the first offering, we witnessed the first murder in the history of the world. And I'm just thinking of this moment and what's happening in heaven. I mean, the angels looking down at one human murdering another. It has never happened before. And I don't know if they, as the angels, I don't have theology on that, were privileged to what was going to happen. I don't know, do they see in the future like the Father? Are they looking down and saying, we didn't know they can do this. We didn't know that they would be, that they would go that far. You know, just remembering, I'm trying to put myself in an angel's shoes for a moment. Remembering God making man and saying, this is good. They are like us. They're like the Trinity. They're good. Sure. Not long after, the one rises up, terminates another one. I don't know, was heaven silent? Was it in chaos? I don't know. It must be a dramatic moment, the first murder ever recorded. And then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. And Cain doubles down on his sin. He says, I don't know. I don't know where he is. He tells a lie to the Lord. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. I just want to read one or two verses from the New Testament looking back. What we need to understand about this passage in Genesis 4 is we know that God was pleased with Abel's offering and not pleased with Cain, but we need to read on in the Bible to get a view back on why not, because prescriptions for worship before Genesis 4 is not recorded for us. Okay, we learn more about worship and sacrifice for sin afterwards, but we are reading this story as it unfolds, and we should ask, like, why did God accept the one and not the other? These are good questions to ask. 1 John 3 verse 12, it said, for we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one, and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. In Jude verse 11, it says, woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. Just reading on in Matthew 7, I'm just giving us an intro because the question I'm asking is, okay, if one man's offering was pleasing and the one not, how does a heart or a life or an offering looks like that's pleasing to the Lord? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father is in heaven. Matthew 15 verse 8 says, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. How does a life fit for worship looks like? So let's just very broadly look at Cain and Abram, but very broad. We've got two men, each brings an offering, right? The one an offering of a one kind, the one of an animal, and the one of grain. Two men brings an offering to the same God. Okay. God only accepts the one. All worship is not equal. All worship is not the same. The world might advocate for that. Don't worry, there's many roads to the same God. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you know you do it your way. That doesn't connect with Scripture well. We get two men, both bring an offering. The one is accepted, and the one offering is rejected. Okay, which should lead us to ask, Father, as I am coming to you, help me to have a heart fit for worship, right? That is the question we should ask. Now, I don't want to go too much into Cain and Abel because there's a little bit of speculation, but just throw a few thoughts around. It might be that Cain's offering was rejected because it did not come with the same kind of faith as Abel's. He had a lot of grain, for example, and took some of his grain, left the other grain beautifully in the field, and maybe, you know, it's giving from an abundance, whereas Abel, a firstborn from a mother and a father sheep, if you kill the first one, you don't know if there will be more, so maybe there was more faith involved. It could also be, if we read on, is that often the sacrifices for sin was animals, and the sacrifices for thanksgiving was grain. Okay, so it could be that God wanted Cain to come and say, I am sinful before you, therefore I also will bring an animal to atone for my sins. So it could be one of those two, but let's stick to what we know for sure. Let's allow the what is clear to interpret that which is not clear, which is a good way to read scripture. So I want to go to Psalm 51, and we're going to head into how does a heart fit or a life fit for worship looks like, and let's try and apply it to our lives. So I want to go to David, Psalm 51. So David takes a wife for himself, which is married to another man, Uriah. David takes Bathsheba for himself, and then he organizes her husband to be killed. In the Bible, if your name is Uriah, it's bad luck, basically. And David gets confronted by a prophet, and his heart melts before the Lord. And it is recorded for us in Psalm 51. David says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know whose transgressions, my transgressions, and whose sin, my sin, is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Then he goes on in verse 9, he says, hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities and create in me a clean heart. Now, what we see, the difference between David and Cain, very important, both sin. In fact, both murders a man. And David goes further, also takes his wife. Okay. The conviction of God comes around, and at the right time, David's heart melts, and he says, I have sinned, it is mine, I have iniquity, it is mine. Will you clean me from those? His heart melts before the Lord. Against you and you only have I sinned, is what David says. What does Cain do? God comes around, Cain, where's your brother? Ek weet nie, ek vraai vir my. I don't know. Am I his keeper? I don't care. So we see a contrast. The one says, I know I have it. It's in me, sin. Will you help me? The other one says, he pushes back. He says, I don't know where he is. David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. In the Old Testament, David says, take not your Holy Spirit from me. He knew the presence of a spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. David understands God's forgiveness. He says, I want you to deal with my sins. It's mine. Blot out my iniquities. But in verse 11, it says, but cast me not away from you. So cast my sin out, but may I come near. That's the heart of a worshiper. Honest acknowledge, and then he presses into the Lord. In James 4, verse 6, he says, he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so the first thing I want to highlight this morning in a life fit for worship, if we look at Cain and David, is that we are to draw near with a broken heart to the Lord. A broken heart is an honest heart. A heart that can say, those sins are mine. those iniquities, they are mine. Where's your brother? I don't know how to say this, Father, but I killed him. I don't know, maybe that was the right answer, the right response for Cain. I killed him. Wash me, Lord. I don't know what I've done. But instead he said, I don't know. I don't care. Brokenness is important for worship. Jesus tells a story in Luke 18. It's not on the screen. He says, there's two men go to the temple to worship, offering fit for worship. Which worship is acceptable? One comes in. He sees a man over there on the ground, beating his chest, falling apart. He says, the Pharisee, he says, I want to thank you that I am all sorted out. You know, I, with my life, things are spickerish before you. I mean, David had sin and iniquities, but me, I give, I tithe, I care. Thank you, God, that I'm not falling apart. Thank you that I'm not broken like that man over there, standing before you in all my glory. Man, I'm privileged. Man on the other side falls apart. He doesn't want to look out because he knows about his sin. His brokenness before that. As he enters God's presence, he sees the distance in what is in him and how holy God is. And it brings him to his knees. And there's an element of worship that should carry a brokenness, a humility before the Lord. Are you with me this morning? This is very important. Scripture teaches us to have a broken heart before the Lord. But a broken heart doesn't mean we don't have confidence. It doesn't mean we don't know how to rise up in the Lord and have strength. It just means the way we carry our strength is different. An eldership team which is broken do not compete. A small group that's got an element of brokenness knows how to care strongly, and they know how to conquer strongly. You see, brokenness is a thing that should be found in a community of believers which is alien to the world, that only wants to project strength. No, there's something different here. Amen? Draw near with a broken heart. I want to go on. So we started with a heart. So after a lot of words were spoken, God addresses Job. And in Job, it's this, for me, it's quite a funny scripture. Job 38 verse 3, God speaks to him and he says, dressed for action like a man. Dressed for action like a man, and I will question you, and you make it known to me. So first put on the right clothes, and then I'll question you. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, Job? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? It's hard to, I mean, I'd like to be in that moment. Like, what should Job say? Should he just be silent? And it's almost like you pick up some, like, sarcasm from the Lord. Like, he's definitely drawing. He's wanting to indicate the distance between him and Job. And Job was known as a wise man who knew the Lord. But there's a great distance between God's infinite knowledge and Job as a human. Can you see the distance? Okay, now just go on with me to Romans 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Again, Paul is indicating a great distance between the knowledge of the Lord and the knowledge of a man. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'm carrying on along those lines. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? And also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The second thing I want to just put before us in a life fit for worship is to draw near with a teachable intellect. Very practical. It's a teachable intellect. A broken heart, but also one could say a broken intellect or brokenness, humility in the intellect. Because Cain didn't have this. He didn't have number one, but he also didn't have number two. Because when God asked him, where's your brother? He thinks that God would not know. If he says he does not know, God says, oh, thanks, man. I thought I'd just check in with you. Let me go and look. But God knew because he took God to have the intellect of a human. He thought he could deceive God. He thought he knew. This is very important, and this creeps in on me and all of us. And you know where I know that this number two is under attack in my life? When I think for a moment in my heart that it's going to be a little bit of a waste of time if I make time in the morning to read this thing. You know, I'm ready to draw near and I think, but I've got so much better things to do or to think of than to sit and read. Because, you know, in my mind, I have decided I know what I need for this day. I know what I need to do, how I need to treat people. And I actually know what's going on. When my thought sounds a little bit like that, I know number two is under fire. Because the truth is, I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't there when the heavens were stretched out and when the waters were parted. I wasn't there. Now, this is important for us because God wants to give you as a believer. He wants to minister to your intellect and to your heart in a way that helps you in this world and helps you in your life. Can I give you one or two examples? God created us to be like Him. So we can know many things. That's of Him. Even what we know about Him is given to us. It's called the knowability of God. We are able to know and understand Him because it is given to us. Okay. But even in this world, as we study this world, it is because we were made like Him. So we can put thoughts together. And humans are quite amazing. We put airplanes in the air. By the help of God, we've done amazing things. Would you agree with me? But there's a deeper part of wisdom that comes from the Lord. And I don't want to play with the definitions of words too much. Sometimes we know stuff, but we don't have wisdom. Let me give you one example. So you go to someone's house. I like this example. You might have heard it before. You go to someone's house and the kettle is cooking. Why is the kettle cooking? Well, there's two answers. The one indicates knowledge and the one wisdom. Okay. From the angle of knowledge, I know why the kettle is cooking. Because firstly, it's not load shedding, all right? And someone put it on. And because someone has switched it on and it's not load shedding, the element is getting warm. And now the particles around the water are starting to move faster and faster and faster. I hope there's no scientists here. But at one stage, the water moves so fast and it's getting hotter, it starts to boil, and that is why the kettle is cooking. So that's me projecting some kind of knowledge of science that has been done, and it's not wrong. But there's a person sitting over there, and I don't know whether they want coffee or tea. That I cannot know by just looking at the kettle. If I want to be wise in serving them and loving them the right way, I need to go to them. Assume that I don't know everything. And then I need to ask them, Craig, would you like coffee or tea? He said coffee. I need to be humble and I need to ask him in order to serve him correctly. Are you with me this morning? And so if we come to God with an inflated intellect, we think we know, but we miss out a lot. We should rather not think we know. We should ask. We should ask. That's why the Christian man, I don't know, hope I come into trouble now, the Christian husband that gets number two before the Lord, would with the help of a spirit be able to love his spouse better, because instead of assuming, he would ask, how does this work for you? Because I might think I know how to love and what I'm giving, because in my mind I know everything, but what if I ask? What if I ask the Lord, Lord, where my life is at right now, what would you have me do? Show me by your spirit. Show me in your word. A broken heart together with a humble intellect can go very far with the Lord. Very far. Once one of those, we lose it. We get stuck. We get stuck. Amen? How are you doing with the Lord? Humble heart, a teachable intellect. I remember there was a pastor I looked up to when I was young. And one of the reasons I looked up to him is he would preach most of the time in the congregation that I was attending. But when he was not preaching, and some of the younger generation would preach, some of the young men he had discipled, he would have his notebook and his pen, and he would listen to the word of God being preached by a younger man or a younger disciple. I thought, I pray that I can have a humility like that also one day. That indicated for me something I'm after. Amen? A life fit for worship. Draw near with a humble heart and draw near with a teachable intellect. Romans 12 verse 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. We're talking about a sacrifice. Life fit for worship or life fit for sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. And what I just realized is sometimes things look like menial things. They look like... It's only the cooking of a kettle and the making of coffee. But if you are here this morning and you have set aside time to do it to serve God's people, this verse says that what you have done with your body, okay, wake up, washing your face, coming here, pressing on the kettle, making the coffee, presenting it to God's people that we might have fellowship, it is called spiritual worship, which is acceptable to the Lord. And it's amazing how God allows us to serve Him in ways which is very simple, which means everyone can partake. Everyone can take a broom and bring their spiritual worship to the Lord. Everyone can bring their hands and shift a chair. For some, it is taking out the time and prepare here, and bless you guys for preparing the worship set and serving us with that. But what this means for us is that once we give our bodies to the Lord, He will immediately enroll us to be a part of His kingdom, to be in His team. Isn't that great news? I have made that promise to the previous congregation that I planted in Secunda. I said, I commit that when I am old in years and the young people in church no longer wants to hear me preach, then I will move the chairs into their position, because I see no difference between the man bringing the word and the man preparing the space for the word to come. I see no difference. So there's great hope for you if you are new in the kingdom of the Lord and you don't know. Sometimes we only want to understand the end goal. Where will I be one day with the Lord? And that is important. But what about today? You are fit for some kind of worship today. and let the Lord lead you. And I know many people are here only for the weekend. Who's visiting for the weekend from another town? It's quite a lot. Welcome, everyone. We pray for you also that God will lead you and activate you in your congregation where you go back to. Amen. If you're not already enrolled. And no, don't underestimate a pair of hands on deck in the house of the Lord. It's very powerful. Very powerful. Jesus said in Matthew 10, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." I'm sending you. So be wise. I'm sending you. Last thing I want to say, if you want to live a life fit for worship, come with a broken heart. Come with a teachable intellect and report with a willing life fit for service. A willing life fit for service. What you do with your hands consecrated to the Lord is called spiritual service. I'm going to wrap up for us this morning. Just take it together. Hebrews 12 verse 24, it says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." What does that mean? What does it mean that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word than the blood of Abel? It's two men died. Abel died, he was killed. And Jesus died, he was killed. But the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. I just want to quote someone smarter than me. He said, "The blood of Abel cried for vengeance, the blood of Jesus for forgiveness." Now the offering that Cain brought was not pleasing in the sight of the Lord, but when Jesus died on the cross, the Father said, "That's the fit sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins for whosoever will call on his name." He was the perfect sacrifice so that we can come near, be washed of our sins, and be enrolled in the army of the Lord. Doesn't matter what you have done or where you have been. What matters is what Jesus did and how he pleased the Father and how he endured to the end and the fact that he's willing to give his righteousness to you if you'd call on his name. Isn't that amazing? I want us this morning just to, if we can go to that slide with the 3 points on. I just want to give you a moment to reflect in your own heart. And just take a pit stop for a moment. I know we rush. I know things happen so fast. But just for a moment, ask the Holy Spirit if there's an area of your life where you can just stick your head in with the help of the Lord and just say, "Lord, help me with this. I really want to get into this." Present one of these areas to you. Just give you a minute or two just to think about it. And also ask the Lord for a game plan. And then I just want to challenge you while you are sitting. Let's give a time for meditation. Let's give some time for prayer. Just where you're sitting in your seat, you can whisper to the Lord. Speak to him about your heart. This morning, if you feel you've got a stubborn heart or a hard heart, go to number one. Say, "Lord, just massage my heart again. Make my heart soft, this heart of stone." and you can diagnose yourself. You're easily frustrated. Jy't 'n kort lont. Jy ontplof sommer vinnig. Say, Lord, a broken soft heart again. Dis waarvoor ek vra vanoggend, Jesus. Hy sal jou help. Maybe for you, maybe this is quite a direct challenge. Geen kerk is goed genoeg vir jou nie. No pastor is good enough for you. No worship team is good enough for you. Because you have become proud and stiff in your intellect. And you are robbing yourself of such wonderful fellowship. Bring number two to the Lord. Be humble again. Be humble again. You'll find joy again in community. It's not a competition who knows the most. It's about sharing our lives in the Lord. Maybe for you, it's you think big, you've got big dreams in your heart, you want to move mountains for the Lord, but for you it's really hard to take that first step, which is just putting the one foot in front of the other thing. It's starting somewhere. So ask the Lord, Lord, how can I work for you today? Just for a moment, forget about 20 years down the line. Lord, what can I do in your kingdom today? Who can I tell about it? Say, listen, I'm here to bring my energy, to enroll, to bring my time, to be a part of what's happening around church here, or maybe where you are going back. Because a life fit for worship, after dealing with the heart and the head, it reports for action. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe just bring yourself to the Lord in prayer around that part as well. Jesus, I just want to lift up your name this morning, and I want to thank you for seeing such precious people coming together from different places, but to the same King. And then you will also send us again out into different areas, different aspects of your kingdom. We all cannot do the same thing, but we all can do something, because you have set apart certain tasks for each one of us, as your word promises in Ephesians 2 verse 10. It says that we have been made in a way so that we can walk in the way that you have set out for us. So I bless you for each and every person here this morning. I want to ask you to do something before we conclude. I want to ask you to just take the boldness and just turn to someone you came with, maybe a family member, and just tell them, just share with them, what is the Holy Spirit just pressing on your heart this morning? If you came alone and you're very shy, I'm not going to force you to connect with someone, but an extrovert might befall you. let's just take 3 or 4 minutes and just share with someone, well, what is popping for you? What is stirring in your heart? If you see your friend sitting alone, you can go and attack them.